Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are going to be talking about some news on Tesla Energy in Texas. We've also got updates on the Tesla Semi, news on Smart Summon, updates out of China and Germany, some news on other electric vehicles, and a couple other items as well. After some exciting trading this morning, Tesla stock did fall off a bit throughout the day, finishing up 0.4% to close at $220.19, while the NASDAQ was up 0.9% on the day. We do have a bit of movement after hours with Tesla up 1.5%. That seems to be a reaction to Netflix's earnings report driving the overall market up. Netflix is one of the earlier companies to report. You may remember 6 months back that we had the opposite of this situation. Netflix took a dive and kind of took a lot of tech down with it. But right now, after reporting earnings, Netflix up almost 15% after hours. They reported a return to net increases in their subscriber numbers after a couple of quarters of declines. They guided for a bigger increase than expected for subscribers in Q4, and they also reported earnings per share for this quarter about 50% above the consensus expectation. We'll see tomorrow if Tesla can keep that earnings beat train rolling. Elon did confirm on Twitter that he is planning on being on the earnings call. That call is at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. I will be, as usual, streaming the call and taking notes as we go through it. And prior to that, right around market close, we'll go through the shareholder letter and earnings report as well. One quick note on earnings, I did receive communication today that for the analyst consensus compiled by Tesla, some analysts had not updated their share counts for the stock split, so the share count average was off. That has now been corrected, and that actually lowers the earnings per share consensus forecast to $1 per share on a non-GAAP basis, down from the $1.09 per share communicated yesterday, and on a GAAP basis, down to 88 cents per share from the 95 cents per share yesterday. All right, getting into the Tesla news, we've got an interesting update today from ERCOT, which manages the electrical grid in Texas. Their board of directors met today to vote on approval for a pilot project for aggregate distributed energy resources, or DERs. This would essentially provide a path for things like Tesla's virtual power plant projects that we have seen in California and elsewhere to be used in Texas as well. The board did unanimously approve this. Again, it is still a pilot project. It's a multi-phase pilot project. So for phase one, they're just trying to assess the operational benefits and challenges, impacts to the grid and ancillary services, things that they can improve upon for future phases of the project. All pretty typical things that you would expect, but this is going to be a rather lengthy pilot project. They say that they expect this to run for a minimum of 3 years. But again, that timeline does encompass multiple phases, so presumably throughout those phases they would be expanding it. Initially, they're going to limit it to 80 megawatts, and they do say that the purpose of the pilot project is to understand the integration of distributed energy resources less than 1 megawatt, specifically noting that it is not intended to evaluate anything greater than 1 megawatt. So I don't know if they have a different project where they're intending to learn more about those larger distributed energy resources, but for the purposes that we're talking about here, this would not apply to a megapack, which even just one unit has an output of 1.9 megawatts. So it is exciting to see some progress on this for Texas. I know Tesla has been pretty heavily involved in this process and pushing it forward. I do wish that the timeline was a little bit faster, but seems to be a step in the right direction. Next up, we've got a bit of news on the Tesla Semi. Autopilot on Twitter has found some information about the vehicle identification numbers for the Semi. Always fun when we start to see these for new vehicles. I still remember the days of first seeing the Model X VINs out there. But anyway, we do get some new information from the VIN decoder here. The first three digits, that indicates the manufacturer of Tesla, and a new vehicle type for Tesla indicated as truck. Digit 4 indicates Tesla Semi. Digit 5, interesting. That's where Tesla is indicating chassis slash cab type. They have indicated here for the VIN that we have seen, B for day cab. May imply that we'll see a different VIN later on for a sleeper cab. Digit 6 for gross vehicle weight rating, it's indicated, unsurprisingly, as a Class 8 vehicle. Digit 8 indicates the drive unit and braking system. For this vehicle, dual drive rear axle and air brakes. And then digit 11, one of the more interesting ones here, plant of manufacturer. For this is specified as Reno, Nevada. So it shouldn't be too surprising. We've talked previously about reports that Tesla, for initial semi-production, was doing that at Giga Nevada, out of a small assembly line there. This still doesn't really answer the more interesting question of where volume production is going to occur at long term. Anyway, exciting to see that for the Semi. There's some rumors on Twitter that Tesla has already produced the first vehicle for Pepsi, doing some drone footage videos and things like that. Hopefully we'll hear a little bit more about that tomorrow on the earnings call. Next up, we've got a few quick items. First up, from Elon on Twitter, replying to a tweet from Tesla owner Silicon Valley about Summon, Elon saying, quote, "Actually, Smart Summon is almost done," end quote. I think most of us have followed Tesla long enough to understand that that may not mean a whole lot in terms of timeline, but I still can't help but be a little bit excited about this. This is definitely one of the most fun and sort of initially mind-blowing features to introduce people to Tesla with, and we really haven't seen any improvements to this feature in a couple of years now, so I'm excited to see where Tesla has gone with this, though with the understanding that a lot of that time has been spent on things that are not specifically Smart Summon, but still hopefully yield a significant step forward for Smart Summon. Next, we've got some interesting insight into Germany electric vehicle registrations. This is shared on Twitter by Alex Voigt. And here we're talking year-to-date numbers, so no monthly cherry-picking things like that. Tesla so far this year leads the pack with just over 38,000 vehicles registered. Volkswagen second with about 32,000 vehicles registered. Hyundai a distant third at 21,000. But the year-over-year changes are perhaps the most interesting part of this. Tesla up 48% year-over-year. Volkswagen actually down 40%. Now, if you do the math on that, obviously Volkswagen last year at this time was in the number one position, Tesla trailing behind. Oftentimes, this comes down to production and allocation, but that is now flipped. And you have to kind of question for Volkswagen, even if those vehicles are just going to different countries, is that perhaps indicative of less demand internally in Germany? It's kind of the same question that Tesla's facing right now for China. So pretty interesting to see those numbers. And with Giga Berlin ramping up, it's going to be pretty tough for Volkswagen to ever take back that top slot. Next then, just some quick news from Foxconn. They had their annual tech day today, and their chairman happened to mention Tesla. He was discussing their general electric vehicle manufacturing ambitions and said, quote, "I hope one day we can do Tesla cars for Tesla," end quote. So of course, that would suggest a similar role for Foxconn as they serve for Apple with the iPhone. But for the case of Tesla, I mean, we've heard Elon say before, manufacturing is going to be Tesla's main competitive advantage. It would be pretty difficult to marry that statement with turning over a lot of manufacturing to a company like Foxconn. Maybe they could do it under some very close strategic partnership, and maybe something like that could help Tesla accelerate their plans. But to me, at this point in time, that seems pretty unlikely. I mean, we've already seen Tesla enter China and successfully avoid having to do a joint venture, like has been the historical requirement. I think that demonstrates, alongside many other things, how critical that is for Tesla. All right, next we've just got a couple of quick updates on other electric vehicles, primarily at the top of the market. First, one from Cadillac called, I believe, the Celestiq. So Cadillac, of course, a GM brand. This will start at $300,000. It will have a range of 300 miles. It's intended to be a bespoke offering customized to each buyer, really in that luxury market. Now, for our purposes, don't really care too much about it, but I think it's extremely telling that for a vehicle with a price like this, the best that they can do is 300 miles of range on a 111 kilowatt hour battery. And by the way, it only gets 200 kilowatt charging. Now, is a buyer of this vehicle necessarily going to care about either of those things? Maybe not, but this is supposed to be a top of the line thing, and those specs just aren't. But hey, maybe owners can distract themselves from those facts with their super cool half blue interior. I guess the other thing I would add on this is this is clearly a marketing effort, like through and through. It's supposed to be a halo product for the Cadillac brand, but I just don't really think it even accomplishes that. And they're spending all of these engineering resources to produce this vehicle. Normally, a vehicle like that might be an exercise in new technology that allows them to push some limits, which clearly they're not pushing any of in this case. So in addition to all the money that goes into developing and producing this project, GM is also spending engineering talent on this as well. The other top-of-the-line EV that has been unveiled is the Rolls-Royce Spectre. Rolls-Royce parent company, of course, BMW. This one will get 260 miles of range with a $400,000 price point. And of course, same things apply there. It's not really about those specs necessarily, more about the luxury, the exclusivity of the brand. I did kind of have to chuckle at their press shots though here, because it just kind of looks like they have car seats on every single seat. I'm sure they've got different options for customers, but it was kind of humorous to me to see that, especially after looking at the Celestiq interior. All right, last couple of things. We are again hearing from Stellantis' CEO. He is continuing to push back against proposed bans for fossil fuel vehicles in the European Union in 2035, saying that allowing more space for hybrid vehicles in that plan is quote-unquote essential, and saying that the dogmatic decision that was taken to ban the sale of thermal vehicles, I haven't really heard them called that before, I guess, but thermal vehicles in 2035 has social consequences that are not manageable. So nothing too new there. We've heard comments like this from him a number of times, just highlighting that that has reoccurred. And then lastly, over the last couple of days, I've gotten a few questions about some article that's appeared in Barron's and I think some other publications as well, talking about how Tesla is a quote-unquote zombie stock and it's going to $90 per share. I don't know why this has generated so much interest from the audience, but this is coming from a report by New Constructs and David Trainer. If you've been listening a long time, you may remember that he has been on the podcast before. We had a full debate, and he was very unconvincing to me. At that time, he was talking about how his model had Tesla in 2030 hitting a 7% operating margin just because that's what Toyota was at. And I walked through all the reasons why there may be some differences here, which of course we have seen come to fruition. Tesla over the last 12 months is at a 16% operating margin. He had also talked at that time about how Adam Jonas was modeling for 3 million vehicles in 2030. Fun flashback for that too. So I don't put any weight in Trainer's opinion on Tesla. I mean, if people want, maybe we could have him back on the podcast. He said he'd be open to it. I'd love to do another bull bear debate. It's just so hard to find bears that have actually done enough work to make it valuable. Anyway, that was over 2 years ago, but if you are curious to just kind of go back and watch that, probably a fun watch. I'll link to that in the description. All right, that is where we'll wrap it up for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for Earnings Day for the Wednesday, October 19th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.